Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com. Brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on the fan by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com. And by Laurelhurst Market, more than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning to you. This last golf show of the season, yes. As the PGA Tour is wrapping things up, we are putting a giant bow on the season this Saturday. How are you, Harold?
And it worked out.
Yeah.
We end. This is a major
As we
story.
Go right into the football season, you've got Seahawks preseason action here this evening. We got the first college football game of the season over on 910 this afternoon, Miami and Florida. So it's a perfect transition. However, lots of great golf left to be played in the month of September and hopefully into October as well. A great time to get out. It's not uber hot, but when it does warm up, if we get one of those Indian summers, great time to get out.
It is great golf in September and October, and the golf courses kind of clear out too, because after Labor Day, a lot of people put their clubs back in the garage. They're not going to pick them up till.
Well, and if you know, people that have kids that are taking them to soccer games or football games and all of those sorts of things,
those are just excuses.
They're time windows.
I think you take the day off, send the kids to school, put them on a bus, say goodbye, grab your clubs and go play.
See, Harold, this is why you're a class A coach, is because you get up all in the face of these dudes who want to be better, who are amateurs, and you tell them, I don't care about your family, don't care about your wife, pick up the club and hit it.
I'm staring across the room at one of those guys right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I admit it. I'm well aware of that fact.
Okay. So let's do something about it. Being aware of it is not a cure.
Well, if I had complete control to do something about it, I do. However, I don't get to dictate my own schedule as much as I would appreciate.
You should try to hide in his bedroom, in his closet.
No way.
Like sleeping.
There is no way I would enter that sanctum or whatever.
Bust through the doors. Get up.
Yeah.
4 a.m.
No, that's one closet I'm staying out of. No, I don't think there's probably any room in there for me.
No skeletons in there. Anyway, we got a lot of help here to over the next hour as we wrap up the season. Jeff Shane, our good buddy, who is now consolidated from the man of many jobs to a single job. He's got a new gig down in Orlando. One of our favorite golf writers. He's going to join us at 8:15. We'll kind of wrap up players of the year, how the new schedule worked in the PGA, some of the new rule changes, and get his thoughts on the proposed, all of a sudden, pace of play now is taking the forefront of the headlines. The European Tour has some four-point plan. Everybody on the PGA Tour is now blaming Bryson DeChambeau. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts.
It's interesting to, it is. I'd like to hear how he feels about players calling out another player. They do it in football and the NFL the time. We don't do it in golf very often. So it's interesting to see Brooks Koepka call out Bryce DeChambeau.
J.B. Holmes, Brooks got after J.B. Holmes at the Open Championship, and now everybody's getting on Bryson.
Well, peer pressure might make a change, and it's actually alerted the tour to.
Well, we know fines don't. They can't fine them enough to make it significant, and those aren't publicly disclosed, so we don't know who's really been fined or been on the clock or timed, even though the only way we would know, players come out and say it as they've done, or somebody actually gets a penalty. I can't remember the last penalty on the PGA Tour for actual slow play.
I don't know of one. They've thrown guys off the tour for drugs, but not for slow play. Which one's worse?
Yeah, we'll get his thoughts on that. And then Sean Lanny is going to join us, a Golf Channel Academy instructor. He's now part-time at Langdon Farms here in the Northwest. He was a Southern California kid and is one of the top short game instructors in the country.
Right. Yeah, Sean, good friend. Very good. We'll talk some putting. We'll talk some chipping. But Sean understands the game from top to bottom.
So we got all that over the next hour. And Harold and I have some final thoughts on what we will remember most from this past golf season. On the professional ranks as well. But as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com.
Three tours of note this week. I know the Champions Tour is up in Seattle for the Boeing Classic. Just a regular old event there. Freddie Couples is the unofficial host. So you'll keep an eye on that. You'll see that. But we're focusing on three main tours. The LPGA is in Ontario, Canada at Magna Golf Club in Aurora, Ontario. They will be here in Portland next weekend for the Portland Classic presented by Cambia. Your leader is Nicole Broch Larsen out of Denmark, 1,200 par, and then Jin Young Ko, the number one ranked player in the world. She's one shot back at 11 under. Yu Liu, Brooke Henderson, the defending champion, and Pajari Anarukarn from Thailand at 9 under par. Amy Olsen and Brittany Altimer are in the mix, but they... you're keeping an eye on because they are trying to get the last two automatic qualifying spots. One comes from Solheim Cup points. One comes from the Rolex World Rankings. They're in position to grab those last two automatic spots. Team captain Julie Inkster has said on Monday, after they do all the math to see who got in or qualified through the point system, then she will pick her last two captain's picks. I think she's hoping both Amy and Brittany get those automatic spots. I think she'd like to take a couple of veterans, a Morgan Pressel, a Stacey Lewis. But I think if one of those two falls short, she's going to feel compelled to take one of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's one or two openings yet. Amy Olsen and Altamari are close to grabbing, and so is it Angel Yin?
Angel Yin is in the mix, so there's one
three.
Spot. Brittany Altamari has a seven-point lead over Allie McDonald for the final point spot. If she finishes way up there, she'll have that clinched. The other spot comes off the Rolex rankings.
Okay.
So Yin is 32nd, Austin Ernst 41st, Annie Park 42nd, Angela Stanford 47th, and Amy Olsen 48th. So I don't know how much points Amy would pick up if she gets a top five, top three finish, how many places she could jump there.
It gets a little bit confusing at this point, but let's just say Julie Inkster has some decisions to make as far as her captain's picks. She's got a very young team. Not necessarily young, but inexperienced team. So selecting a couple of veterans wouldn't hurt. It looks like Stacey Lewis is probably playing the best of those players right now. So we'll see. When is the Solheim Cup coming up?
It's a couple of weeks. It's the September 12th through the 15th or something like that.
Yep.
So, but Julie, yeah, we'll make her captain's picks on Monday. So an important tournament up there in Canada before the ladies are here in Portland next week. PortlandClassic.com for tickets there. The Korn Ferry Tour Finals continue. They are in Boise for the 30th year of the Albertsons Boise Open presented by Kraft Nabisco. Jeff Sanders and his crew running that tournament. Ryan Brem, a former Winco Foods Portland Open champion, is your leader at 12 under par. He's already got his card secured for next season, so he's trying to pick up some status there. Charlie Saxon, one back. Zach Blair, Tyler Duncan, Grayson Murray are at 10 under par. Scott Harrington had a nice round, 467 in round two. He got the 5 under, made the cut. He had a great finish in Columbus, a top 10 finish there. Picked up a lot of points, so he moved up from 19th now to 16th. So the guys, even though they secured their tour card, they are trying to have their status move up significantly, and it's nice to see Scott, after he finally got his tour card here in Portland, continue to play well as he has the last really couple of months.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he didn't take a break or something, because that was a huge emotional experience in Portland. Although right now they are playing for better status on tour, and the assumption is that if you get your card, you can get into every tournament, and that's just not the case. There's a priority list going on here. The only person, player that does get in is 100% is the number one. Everyone else is fighting for those spots.
So the other local name, Ben Crane, did not make the cut. He shot a pair of 1-under 70s, and he is in danger of losing status on the PGA Tour. And you've got to wonder, he's had the chronic back issues over his career. And you start to wonder now, he'll obviously, there's some tournaments he's won on the PGA Tour, so he'll have, you'll see him on the PGA Tour. But if he doesn't have a great showing in their last event, which is maybe the toughest course they play on the Korn Ferry Tour, they're out. Is it Indiana or Illinois where they go? They finish up. It's Victoria National Golf Club in Newburgh, Indiana.
Right.
And it is a bear of a course. If he doesn't have a good finish there, I don't know if we'll see him on the Korn Ferry Tour. I don't know if he'll just take whatever he can get, try and get PGA Tour status as they go throughout the season. But
well, I'm sure he'll try to get some sponsors exemptions, although those are pretty tough to get. I think you'll see him on the Korn Ferry Tour. The player who surprises me, who was also 2-under, is Stuart Sink. He won a British Open. And here he is on the Korn Ferry Tour, actually trying to qualify to get back on the major yep. tour. You have a number of good players, Peter Uihlein, who else? Eric Compton, a lot of these players, Dylan Wu, players, Johnson Wagner, there's a whole list of them that did not make it to the top 150, and they are back out there trying to secure their card for next year.
And, of course, then the new schedule, the wraparound schedule, kicks in September 12th through the 15th. They're starting at the Greenbrier, so that was one of the tournaments that got squeezed out from the main schedule. So that'll come back. You've got the Safeway Open that'll be in Napa at the end of September. Sanderson Farms, you got the Shriners Hospital in Las Vegas. So, and then the Houston Open will be on the wraparound part. Now, they got squeezed out with the condensed schedule of the PGA between the Masters, that sort of stuff. So those are coming in on the wraparound schedule. So it'll be interesting to see. Normally, the top players kind of park it for a little bit once the tour championship is over. So a lot of these guys that are just getting their cards, those first five or six tournaments is an opportunity to make some hay.
No kidding. And you win one of them, and now you've got a yep. two-year exemption. So it is very important for these players. They will not get a break. They'll move right from yeah. these tournaments and the playoffs right into the new season.
They'll get a week or two off there before mm-hmm. it kicks in. To just kind of collect their thoughts and start to get organized for the PGA Tour. Speaking of the Tour Championship, East Lake Country Club in Atlanta, it is hot. It is sticky. Brooks Koepka has forged his way to the top of the leaderboard at 13 under par. Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, one back. Xander Schauffele at 11 under. Paul Casey at 9 under. And then you're back to Patrick Cantlay at 7 under. The question will be, with this revised way that they staggered the start of this tournament to determine the FedEx Cup champion and the Tour champion, if anybody that's past Patrick Cantlay has enough tournament left to get there. So Justin Thomas started at 10 under par. He's only 2 under overall. This course is ridiculously hard. The heat and the humidity making it harder on the guys.
It was tough. And then they had a weather delay yesterday. It was good for Xander Schauffele, who came back out and felt good about his swing. But Brooks Koepka felt like it really interrupted any momentum he had. Justin Thomas felt the same way. Except, though, they're at the top of the leaderboard. I'd love to start any tournament.
At 10 under
myself.
Par?
Yeah, 10 under. That's the only way I'd ever get to 10 under is to start there. It's an interesting format, and I think it's here to stay.
We're going to talk with Jeff Shane. He'll join us next. We'll have more about the new format there, the FedEx Cup playoff system, the condensed schedule, all of those things, and how they plan to address slow play on the PGA Tour and other professional tours. Jeff Shane joins us next as we keep it going here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, the all-new sinner and the saint here.
Well, which one are you?
I'll be the sinner.
I'm no saint.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
this is still
closer?
Golf in the Northwest for one more Saturday.
Right.
I do know that. We're very happy to have joining us to ring out the golf season. The man, no more of many jobs. He's got a new gig with the Villages Daily Sun down there in Florida. Our good buddy Jeff Shane joining us here this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and to quote Billy Joel, it's better to laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints.
That is very, very true. Very true. Quickly, let everybody know your new gig. Again, the villagesdailysun.com or on Twitter at VDailySun. You get to be a golf writer again for just one entity. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I truly did not expect to go back into a full-time job into newspapers. For those that may not know, I've been laid off 8 times in my career, and I wasn't sure that I wanted to get in line to do that again. But the Villages Daily Sun is one of the few newspapers that is actually growing in this industry. We have a market that is the number one nationally in growth year to year, and it's been that way for well over a decade. We have almost 100,000 population, and we are adding. We can't build houses fast enough, and as far as our paper's concerned, we are the fifth largest newspaper now in the state of Florida, and they've never laid anybody off.
And you know, Jeff, you're the only one with a full-time job in the Villages. Everyone else is retired.
Well, I have a newsroom full of people working full-time jobs, and we serve our market well.
Well, congratulations again. And, yeah, we'll look for that. You can also follow Jeff on Twitter, at Jeff Shane, S-H-A-I-N, and that'll have links to it. So as we look at this tour championship, wrapping up the PGA Tour season, everybody seems to think Brooks Koepka had the Player of the Year wrapped up. He had a major win, finished second at others. He had a WGC victory. Maybe if Rory catches him, that'd be his third win. Even though he didn't get a major, he did win the Players. So maybe that's a little bit not completely fixed yet. But as far as the year went on the PGA Tour, and as far as what we saw, Tiger winning the Masters and then pretty much unable to do anything the rest of the year, what kind of sticks out for you at this point?
For me, it's actually still Brooks Koepka's year, top to bottom, with all of the majors. He only won one of them, but he's one of, four guys, that has finished top four or top five in every major this year. And with the depth of competition on tour, I find that very, very hard to ignore. And we can argue that he doesn't show up in non-important tournaments, so to speak, or in your regulation tournaments. But he also did win a World Golf Championships event. Maybe you add that to his list. And I've said it to others. I don't remember if I've said it to you guys, but you remember the wide receiver Chris Carter? And he's in the Hall of Fame now, so of course we probably do remember him. But he got cut from the Philadelphia Eagles with the famous Buddy Ryan line, "All he does is catch touchdowns," meaning that he, yep. you know, he wasn't a guy that would go over the middle or get you a first down in the middle of the field, but he was always there and open in the end zone. Well, I've said all year, all Brooks Koepka does is win major championships. And guess what? That's going to define a Hall of Fame career, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely it will. And that's what the average fan looks at. What majors have you won? Not necessarily whether you've won the waste management in January or February. Jeff, your opinion of the new format for the Tour Championship?
I was kind of a wait and see guy to see how this was going to play out, but it has grown on me, and maybe it's because we got a little bit of everything here in these first 2 days. We did not have the runaway that I think was the fear of Jay Monahan and everybody else at Camp Pontevedra. We actually had somebody that was able to make up that staggered start on the first day and put himself into contention with Xander Schauffele. And we look at this halfway leaderboard and we have the number one, number three, number five, and number 11 guys in the world rankings at the top. And that's pretty good. Now, personal preference, I would like to see match play on the weekend. I'd like to take that top four and seed them so that we get Koepka versus Schauffele and McIlroy versus Thomas in the semifinals. Now, they didn't ask me, but I would love to have a Sunday showdown. Wouldn't you like this? A Sunday showdown for $15 million in FedEx Cup money.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is a great
idea. I hadn't thought of it in that realm, but Jeff Shane is our guest here, the Village's Daily Sun, our buddy golf writer. Was that something that was ever even discussed, brought up, or?
I think it's the water in the Villages.
It might be. I think it's one of those things where amongst golf writers who did not like the previous format whatsoever, because, you know, we'd be sitting in the press room trying to follow it and it was difficult enough. And, you know, guys like, you know, Rory and Jordan Spieth and Bill Haas and Luke Donald couldn't follow it at all while they were playing. We were always trying to come up with new and different and better formats. And match play was certainly a discussion. And I think I think when you look at from a casual fan standpoint, wouldn't that just attract eyeballs? We have two guys that are showing down for, at the time we were talking about $10 million, but now we're talking about 18 holes for $15 million. What kind of pressure would that create on a Sunday afternoon?
Yeah. No, that'd be fantastic. I'd be curious. I don't know if they could start them earlier or if they want to. I'd love to see eight, maybe a quarter final round, but that means you're playing 36 possibly on Saturday and in that Atlanta heat in August. That might be asking too much. But
yeah, well, I think if you take what we have now and say use the staggered start so that you still reward the guys at the top of the FedEx Cup standings. And then you this is my ideal. You start, use the staggered start. You start a day early. You play 54 holes. So essentially you're kind of completing 72 with the staggered start. And you just take the top four guys. They've had their chance. And you know you're going to get quality guys because they've been, you know, they're in the top 30 to begin with and they've been seeded so that the best has the best chance to roll through. That's my ideal. So, you know, that means it'll never ever be listened to except perhaps in columns for the Village's Daily Sun.
And we'll listen every now and then too. Jeff, what do you think of the amount of money that's being paid out in this tournament? You have, Rory says the money doesn't mean anything to him, but I can tell you right now, Lucas Glover's liking $395,000.
And I think you've hit it right on the head. For those guys at the top that have their portfolios well established, after a while it becomes monopoly money, and it's just a question of how much are your grandkids going to be able to inherit to pay for their college education. But for a guy like a Lucas Glover or a rookie on tour like a Sungjae Im, You're looking at that with a lot of dollar signs and thinking of it that way, because you can start that kind of portfolio and not have to make your family, your grandkids ever worry about having to scrape by for an income, in their childhood. So Sung J.M., Jason Kokrak, Corey Connors, those guys are looking at it saying this is pretty darn sweet, but for Justin Thomas, for Justin Rose, for Rory McIlroy, this is about a trophy and some prestige and maybe some subconscious Hall of Fame points.
Overall, the new condensed schedule, we saw the players in March and then a major basically every 4 weeks after that. We're getting finished up here this weekend, so they're completely off the major stage, not trying to compete with the NFL and college football for their big finishing events. How well did it work, and what tweaks might we see? Obviously, the Olympics are next year, so they had to make a tweak, but what tweaks might we see to the PGA schedule moving forward?
Yeah, I think we've got to throw out next year's schedule completely because of dropping the Olympics in the middle and having to shuffle the puzzle pieces around. But I think a lot of the players have said, we're not quite sure how to handle this. And even though it wasn't all that different before with the players in May and you were still having one big event.
Uh-oh. Oh, we lost him. All right. Unfortunately, we didn't get a finish up there with Jeff. Looks like, I don't know, his phone cut out, something, unfortunately. But we'll have to follow him for next year.
Yeah, and he may reappear here in a minute or two.
He might try and call back, but we were kind of up against it there. But I think we got the feel. It's still a work in progress with those guys. I think the older players, you're looking at, we saw from Tiger, he won the Masters. He put so much into it, and then they kept coming, and he couldn't ever get the right time to get another competitive round, get his game in shape before the next one came up.
Well, and for the better, those players who are at the top, it's no big deal. They'll figure it out. I think the tour is expanding to 49 tournaments. We were talking a little while ago about reducing the size of a field. Well, that's okay, but you're giving him more opportunities to play. So there's a balance going on.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks again to Jeff Shane. Again, you can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Shane, S-H-A-I-N. Congratulations to him. His new gig there, The Village's Daily Sun. So there's links to that on his Twitter page. When we come back, time to talk to one of the premier short game coaches in all of golf, Sean Lanny, who is now setting up shop at Langdon Farms. What to work on here in while we still have good weather, but also in the off season to improve your short game to get ready for next year. Making the turn here, it's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Lustein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:32 here this morning, Golf in the Northwest. Center and Sink coming up following us. Seahawks preseason football, 5 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock kick. They take on the Chargers over on 910 ESPN Portland. We'll have the first college football game of the season, Miami and Florida. Pregame at 3, kickoff at 4 there. So we usher in the football season as we wrap up the golf season here. Thanks again to Jeff Shane for joining us there. And now we're very pleased to have with us one of the top short game instructors throughout the United States. You may have seen him as part of the Golf Channel Academy of Instructors. Sean Lanny, good morning, Sean. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. We're fantastic. I see, correct me if I'm wrong, but you a Southern California lad, but now have a presence out at Langdon Farms, one of our favorite stops, favorite spots to play here in the Northwest.
Yeah, absolutely. Langdon Farms is one of my two homes up here. I also spend some time at Tri Mountain Golf Course up in Ridgefield. So it's a wonderful balance for the folks that come from Seattle and the northern part of Portland, and then I've got a lot of folks in the southern part of Portland, and obviously Langdon Farms is such a fabulous facility with the practice facilities and the short game areas that I need to accommodate my instruction programs.
So, Sean, I know you've had a busy year, and you do a lot with the short game. For our listeners, let's start with, what is the biggest issue with their ineffective short game?
Well, you know, I think understanding some basic fundamentals like ball position, handle position, the way that they use the sole of the golf club to slide and glide. Most amateurs, as you're fully aware, are going to have more issues with sitting and batting shots, and you know, they can't hit the shot with the type of trajectory and distance control they're looking for. And that's a pure product of a simple fundamental of where the golf ball lies in their stance and how they stand their body to the handle of the golf club. And I really just focus on that simple fundamental for quite a few players. And that goes a long way in helping them become a much more well-rounded player when it comes to having more options and more shots to hit around the greens.
So you're talking specifically about how they set up and understanding their setup. Any advice you can give them in their stroke?
Yeah, so if we're talking short game,
yes.
Chipping, pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, a basic chip shot, I think traditionally the golfer has been taught to lean the club shaft forward towards the target, position the ball back in the stance so there's a descending downward hit. And I think what that does for a lot of folks, it sets them up for the leading edge to penetrate and dig into the turf, and that's pretty disastrous for a lot of golfers. And unfortunately, when golfers experience that, they take that equation, they take that approach into their pitching motion, and when the motion is bigger, when the swing is bigger, and the club's traveling down and the ball was back and the handle was more forward, that just leads to an even bigger disaster. And so, you know, again, players that have struggles around the greens, I would just focus on the golf ball being more in the center of their actual stance and the club shaft being more neutral, which means it points right through the center of their body. And, of course, what that does, it sets the player up for success. So when the club is delivered back down to the golf ball, they're actually capable of turning around their lead leg, and they're allowing the club to continue to move through the contact with the golf ball. I think that old point that I was always brought up is you're making a motion and the ball is getting caught in the way of the golf club coming down, catching the golf ball. We're not actually striking at it in most cases. So I think most amateurs are going to hit more at the ball versus make a rhythmic fluid swing. And it does tie into timing and it does tie into the tempo and the rhythm of the motion, which is why I believe deeply in blast golf being a great solution for a lot of golfers, regardless of the skill level.
Sean Lanny is our guest. Online, his website, Sean Lanny Golf. That's LANYIGolf.com. And you mentioned there he's a Class A PGA Golf professional, but also Level 3 Aimpoint Express. And as we move from around the green to getting on the green, I think we've seen Adam Scott uses this a lot, the Aim Point Express, where we see the guys kind of straddling the line behind their golf ball and holding their fingers up. Maybe go back to the Aim Point Express system. What was it based on? And for amateurs, how do you go about starting to instill those instructions for that system?
Yeah, for sure. So Aim Point is going to be your ultimate field-based green reading approach. It's not a gimmick, not a new found method. It's actually something that's built around the concepts of physics and mathematics and understanding how to feel slope with your feet. And then whatever slope you feel, whether it's a flat 1% or a severe 3%, you match that with the same amount of fingers. And it's a way to detect exactly what the aim line and what we call the aim point line would be for a golfer. I've been fortunate to spend some quality time with Mark Sweeney, the founder of Aimpoint, who first originated Aimpoint Technologies back in the day when the virtual putting technology was on the PGA Tour, and it would show the actual line the player had to hit the ball on, which we've all seen. And, you know, what it does, it eliminates the glorified guess. So for the player that is out there reading putts and they're kneeling behind the ball and they're saying, I think it's going to go right to left, cup from right to left, and the actual putt breaks the other way, that's a perfect example of a guess going wrong. And everyone's been a victim of guessing at what a putt's going to do and guessing wrong. And, you know, what Aimpoint does, it's certain. It's exact and it's precise, and it really comes down to giving the player an exact line. And if we can read a putt correctly, then we can aim on that line correctly. It comes down to hitting the putt with great speed. And quite frankly, you know, once you can do those three elements, read, aim, and control speed nicely and well, I think you're on the right track from a player perspective. So Aimpoint's a huge part of my business. A lot of college players, not just on the Pacific Northwest around here, but I have a lot of players that are kind of taking after the Lydia Ko role. And like you said, Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Hideki Matsuyama, they're all full Aimpoint users. And I know, Harold, you've been an advocate of Aimpoint over the years.
I am, absolutely. Yeah, I think what's so intriguing about Aimpoint and kind of an alien thought for most players is that we are reading greens with our feet and our eyes, and I would say about 80% with our feet and about 20% with our eyes, where the average player is just looking and seeing, and that's where the guesswork comes in.
Right, correct.
So you have another thing that you work with, you brought it up earlier, Blast Motion, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Share with our listeners what Blast Motion is.
Yeah, thanks, Harold. So Blast Motion is a motion capture. It's a swing and stroke analyzer. So basically what that means, it's a grip end sensor that goes on the golf club, and it measures timing, it measures tempo, it measures how much the face rotates. And it is extremely accurate, and it's basically at the price point of $149, going to give you all the information that you need. It's got a video analysis tool so you can work on your putting or your short game or your full swing elements. You can collect all this data, and you can collect all this data that is kind of pertaining to the ways to clean up and make your actual motion more efficient in terms of timing. And Blast Motion has a wonderful new app that we're going to be launching in the early part of the year. But the current app, really, again, it just gives the player the task of managing time. So if the timing of your stroke or your swing is inefficient, that's allowing for a lot more variables to come into play, which is going to cause for a lot more potential mistakes in your motion. And I think that's an important thing to hang our hat on is we can measure the timing. We can measure what the face does throughout the motion, where a lot of the times TrackMan and GC Quad and Foresight machines, they're a little bit more limited during the stroke. We capture all that information, that great information with those other tools at impact, but Blast captures all that information during the motion. So it's a pretty fantastic tool. It's definitely a tool a lot of folks can get their hands on. Tri Mountain carries it. Langdon Farms carries it. Fiddler's Green down in Eugene carries it. So we're slowly getting the word out, and a lot of clubs are seeing the importance in the technology.
Yeah, it's basically a feel-based technology where most the problem I have with TrackMan or just using TrackMan exclusively is that it's a lot of metrics. It might fill your brain up with information, but it doesn't necessarily help you with the tempo and the timing in the golf swing.
Right. Absolutely.
Sean Lanning.
So that's
Go ahead, Sean.
No, that's like the simplicity of Blast. It's efficient. It's simple. A golfer can quickly learn how to use it within, say, 10, 15 minutes. You know, or like I said, our new app is going to be like ordering an Uber. It's going to be that simple to utilize that technology. So we're excited about it.
For those that are interested in more about your coaching, how should they get in touch with you and find you out at Langdon Farms?
Yeah, so my website is seanlanyegolf.com. Like I said, I'm at Tri Mountain as well as Langdon Farms. All my information's on there. I've got social media handles on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Sean Lanny Golf. Reach out, and I'll be more than happy to help you out.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and hope to see you at either Langdon or Tri Mountain get soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thanks so much, Sean. Sean Lanyea Golf there. SeanLanyeaGolf.com. That's L-A-N-Y-I Golf.com. All the information up there, and then all the links to the different systems he talked about. There's a lot in there. And so breaking it down. But as you mentioned, a lot of these things, the aim point, the blast motion, more feel-based rather than very technical sorts of information that sometimes is hard for the average player to kind of quantify and put it back into a swing.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been fortunate to investigate a lot of training aids and things. And I use Aimpoint and I use Blast Motion, and I believe in them. They're simple. They're feel-based. They're going to help you play better and understand the swing without a lot of information running around in your head. That internal chatter can really create a problem.
No question, no question. So thanks to Sean for joining us there. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Just some thoughts. What stood out to both Harold and I from this last year of golf, the season wrapping up, a little bit on pace of play. The European Tour put out a four-point plan to address it. PGA Tour hasn't officially said anything about their current rules, but a lot of the players are now speaking out and pointing some fingers. So we'll get some thoughts on that as we wrap things up for the year. It's our final edition of Golf in the Northwest here for the season on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Our thanks again to Sean Lanyea for joining us there again. Sean Lanyea Golf, L-A-N-Y-I Golf, for all that information. And hopefully if you're looking to make significant improvements in your short game, give him a call.
Yeah, and also Sean works with a Full Swing too. Yep. He's worked with some of my former students and done a great job, college players and such. So if you've got a young player who has some shows some promise, and Sean works with some pretty young players, I would give him a holler out at Langdon.
So the PGA Tour wrapping up with the Tour Championship. They'll start teeing off here shortly. Brooks Koepka, your leader at 13 under. Justin Thomas, Roy McIlroy, 12 under apiece. Xander Schauffele at 11 under. Paul Casey at 9 under. We'll see if anybody past them can make a run on Saturday on a moving day. So the winner will not only win the Tour Championship, but take home the $15 million annuity grand prize for winning the FedEx Cup Championship. We haven't heard much about pace of play at Eastlake. That's because there's only 30 guys in the field. They can space them out and get things moving. But we have heard a lot about it throughout the season. The European Tour earlier this week announced a four-point plan to address it on their tour. So there supposedly is not as many warnings when a guy gets on the clock. So the rules official can start issuing penalties sooner. Before, it seemed like you had to be given 3, 4, 5 warnings and then timed again. And then you say, okay, you're out of position. Now you're on the clock. They simplified it. You get one warning, and if you don't pick it up at the next hole, then you're going to get a penalty.
No, actually you get,
two
bad times. It's no different than what they're doing right now. It's just that they're saying, okay, you know what we're going to do?
We really mean it this time?
Yeah, we mean it this time. This is like Gen X parents, you know, like, well, son or daughter, you made a mistake here. We're only going to give you 3 more warnings for the same problem.
Now, they are jacking up the fines, so that'll get people's attention. Well, some people's attention. They've got some new education system, so everybody's going to have to go through some class. There's educational videos. I don't know quite.
Well, players don't, they need don't to be educated. To yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. These people have been playing since they were 6. So they don't know how to play ready golf. It's just amazing. They also, as far as the regulation, you have the option to request 1 time extension per round. So you're going to, what do you throw out, a yellow flag or something
like that, and
say, hey, I need a little more time for this shot. I think it's really, they're just
Now
it's just for show. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
So now at the BMW PGA Championship in September, they're going to have a pace of play system. So there's actually going to be clocks up on some of the tee boxes, and the referees are going to have times for every group, so they will know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the problem is you're out there, you're with your own group, then you need a ruling or something happens and you get caught up in just what's going on. You have no idea, for the most part, what's going on the rest of the course.
Oh, that's garbage. You look at the group in front of you.
Well, I know.
If you lose sight of them, you're behind. So stay up with the group in front of you, and then you're going to be okay.
The last piece is they're reducing field sizes from 156 to 144.
Yeah.
And this is being discussed on the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy came out. He's in favor of this. Some of the top players, they see it as simply just if we cut out a couple of groups, you know, especially in the first two rounds where you're going, you got threesomes, you're going off first and 10 tee. Are they packing too many people onto these, and is it unrealistic with a 156-person field to expect things to be done on time?
Well, the problem with 156 players is that you also have weather delays and daylight and things like that. So backing it up a little bit might get Friday's play in or Thursday's play in quickly and on time, as opposed to extending it into another day. That's the only reason I see that justifies cutting field size. Your only time that you have a time issue on Thursday and Friday with that many players is because there's a lot of guys out there.
Right.
Saturday and Sunday, you don't have that problem. You've already cut to 70 and
the
maybe
PGA
to 65.
Tour next year is going to 65 in ties, so yeah, they're hoping to avoid threesomes that they need to use, as was done a number of times this year on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I don't think that this is any different than what they have now. If they want to make a difference, there's two things they can do. Eliminate the idea of fines. It doesn't have an impact. Start to penalize, give them one warning the second time you're gonna be dinged with a shot. Or maybe after that you start deducting FedEx points and you want to get some people's attention. Yeah. Take away 10 FedEx points.
Exactly.
And see how that makes an impression.
Well, and something that becomes public, as
right,
there's a lot of fingers being pointed at Bryson DeChambeau now by several players on the tour. He's come up. We know about J.B. Holmes. You know, fines are typically not disclosed publicly from the PGA Tour for whatever they're fining you for, whether it's, you know, foul language, throwing clubs, all of those sorts of things. But obviously, when you're put on the clock at some point, when you're told you're out of position, you need to pick it up, there's fines that go along with that. But those aren't publicly disclosed. Maybe if they started disclosing them, maybe that.
Well,
guys having to answer the public and going,
yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah, peer pressure is a great motivator, as we well know in our business here. The peer pressure I'm putting on you right now to perform.
I'm immune to it. It's not going to affect me whatsoever. We only got a couple of minutes. Quickly.
Yeah.
What are you going to remember most from this last season, this last year of golf?
Well, I think number one is that Tiger Woods, for some unknown reason, won the Masters. I mean, yes, I give him a huge amount of credit for doing it, but he's drifted off the page. I think what we're seeing, aside from the rules changes, I think we're seeing a changing of the guard. And all you have to do is look at the tournament, the Tour Championship, to see that Koepka, Thomas, McIlroy, Schauffele, this is the future of golf. Phil and Tiger is not the future of golf.
For me, it's a little bit more personal, a little bit closer to home. Scott Harrington's story, finally earning his PGA Tour card at the Winco last week with everything he's overcome, both personally and in his professional career. Looks like he's going to carry it over. Somebody that we've gotten to know a little bit over the last few seasons covering that tournament, that's going to stick with me for a long, long time. And hopefully, as much as we love seeing him out of Pumpkin, hopefully it's many, many years before he's back there, maybe in more of a ceremonial
right,
facility rather than playing in it. And so we wish him the best of luck as he moves forward to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and don't forget the ladies coming next week.
Ladies will be here next week. Julie Inkster will announce her captain's picks for the Solheim Cup team. So there will be a lot of those Solheim Cup representatives playing here in Portland out of Columbia Edgewater. PortlandClassic.com for tickets. Thanks again to Jeff Shane and Sean Lanyon for joining us. It's football season here, officially on The Fan. So, Harold, until January.
God, that's this season went very fast.
It went fast.
Yeah.
It certainly did. Thanks to Will Darkins, our producer, all year long. And we'll be back probably mid-January when the tour gets back stateside.
Yeah, this has been a great season for us. You're a good buddy and a true professional.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's always been a pleasure having you in here and helping us with golf knowledge and putting us in the right perspective. So with that, enjoy your fall golf. Enjoy the football. For Harold, I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
Susie said yes. They're tightening up.
It's not like he's just sitting around sleeping all day. The little bit of moisture, I'm guessing, that we got.
I'm a super senior.
So I'm sure they had her out beating balls until the cows came home.
Bogey, 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 bogey.
Fiji's in Europe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.